morning. Welcome to the Monday edition of Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me, we have Jamie Coffey from NAS Whiting Field.
Correct.
Welcome to the show.
Correct. Thanks for having us.
All right.
I always enjoy getting a chance to scream NAS Whiting Field and Naval Aviation. So we just appreciate that you give us that opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I'm a little off balance today because there's so many of you in the studio.
Yes. We have a full house today. Full house.
So introduce me to your guests.
Sure. So we first up, because we want to get to know one of the fairly new commanding officers of HT-8. So in the house today, two reps from HT-8. I have Commander Darren Stockman. We also say AKA or call sign Baby Gap. And I haven't heard the whole story on Baby Gap, but Baby Gap. So Baby Gap is here, and we're going to talk all things HT-8. His wingman, we on the Air Force side, we say wingman, but I shouldn't say wingman. But also in studio with us, also from HT-8, is Lieutenant TJ, AKA Fluffy Wilson. Again, I want the call sign story on Fluffy as well, LT.
Maybe not today.
Maybe not for radio. All the call signs
I think the radio audience
radio
wants to know how the call signs come about. So
that's the fun part. That's the fun part, right?
Yeah.
Then also, we're going to do a little switch out here in a few minutes. And we also have in studio today, Mr. Zach Harris, also with the Public Affairs Office with NAS Whiting Field. And with Zach, he's going to give us a sneak peek and interview Lenny and Megan. So we have Lenny Nordman and Megan Brawl here, also from our MWR team. So they're part of our fun bosses, I'll say, but they're going to talk all things fun and up and coming events that we're holding. So that's kind of like who's here today.
Okay.
I'll start off because it seems like everybody is talking weather and everybody is talking this.
There's another one coming our way.
Yes. So I will. We had a few questions kind of on our messaging sites. So I'll kind of brief that real quick because we are monitoring that invest. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's going to hit here in a few days. So we're working close with Santa Rosa County Emergency Management and National Weather Service and more, and most importantly, Fleet Weather Center. They're out of Norfolk, Virginia. So we're monitoring them and monitoring their channels. And then they provide our leadership with daily briefs every day to make sure that we're making those decisions and prepping what we need to prep. The base goes through conditions of readiness. NAS Pensacola and NAS Whiting Field will go through kind of the same set of standard operating procedures for those conditions of readiness. They kind of start at level 5 and they work all the way up to level 1. So we're working all the way up to that level 1 condition of readiness. It deals with the expectation of the 50 miles per hour winds within a certain amount of time frame, like 72 hours and then 24 hours out and then 12 hours out. So we're continuing to monitor that. We still always give the drumbeat for our base personnel to be 1 week ready. So I want to make sure that we hit that drumbeat today for the listeners out there. Be 1 week ready and monitor your local news and weather. Check your emergency kits right now. This is the time that you should be checking those emergency kits and making sure that all the supplies are in place and that you have water, half a tank of gas in those cars. Have an emergency plan. What are you going to do for evacuations and paperwork and make sure that you're safeguarding your home? So, again, it's just one more drumbeat, one more time that we're making sure that everybody continues to make sure that they're ready for a possible hurricane. What, Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, they're saying midweek, Wednesday to Friday, that time frame.
Yeah, so we'll make sure we're ready at that. And then I kind of want to segue in to Commander and ask you, since we're talking weather real quick before we kind of get to know you, and as Whiting Field does those conditions of readiness for preparation for that storm, does HT-8 go through kind of the same kinds of things, and what do you guys do for the aircraft?
Right. First of all, good morning, everybody. No, this is awesome. First time kind of doing this. It's a really good opportunity. As far as the aircraft for HT-8, we largely kind of do what we're told. About 90 seconds old news is we have 25 aircraft we plan on flying out on Wednesday. And then everything else we'll put in the hangar, button it down, and then they'll kind of stay on station to make sure that they're safe. And then we kind of get ahead of it because now we can allow students and IPs both to kind of prepare of, am I going to be here and I'm going to be with my family, or I need to take the aircraft and then prep the family before they kind of go and go through this checklist like you talked about.
Right.
So
right.
I started yesterday. We kind of put it out in a messaging platform we have of like, hey, start going through your checklist. And a Duval County resident for most of my life. This is kind of old hat, but of like sharing things for students, namely and IPs who maybe aren't used to hurricanes coming through, and like how to prepare and do things like that.
So. Right. Gotcha. Yep. Protecting personnel and property and our assets. We got like a threefold there for sure. Okay. So let's jump in. Where are you from?
I always kind of get asked this question when I do check-ins with new students, but, I was a Navy brat growing up. My dad was enlisted for 23 years. So I was born in Ohio and then immediately moved on to Pensacola, Florida, San Diego, Hawaii for a few years, back to Pascagoula and here for a bit. Spent a little bit of time in Norfolk, went to school in Philadelphia. And then after moving every 2 to 3 years as a kid, I was really done with that. And then I got in the Navy and I homesteaded in Jacksonville for most of my career. I stayed there for about 16 years, which is absolutely unheard of for the most part. I just kept getting lucky. So it was awesome.
Now, how long have you been in so far?
17 years. So I went through flight school just over a year and then spent the rest of my time in Jacksonville until I moved here. So I at least get to stay in Florida for most of my life.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you were in Jax, right before you came here to be the commander of the squadron? What were you doing in Jax?
So, again, funny story, things that shouldn't happen. So kind of the career path, I started out as a 60 Bravo, old legacy platform. That's where the gray hairs come from.
Okay. Can you explain 60 Bravo to everybody that?
Right. So the Navy saw that the 60 Alpha, which is the Black Hawk, was this awesome helicopter.
Right.
And then we could put all these people in the back, and they're like, what if we put a whole bunch of computer gear back there instead? And so the legacy platform built in 1984, which is the year I was born. So I was flying things as old as I was for a while there, doing ASW, running radar, and things like that. And then they said, hey, let's make it better. So that's where the Romeo came on, basically upgraded all the equipment that was in the Bravo to make it a little bit better at looking for submarines and surface ships and things like that.
Okay.
So transitioned the squadron from there and realized that I love tactics so much that I went over to the weapons school, which was across the street. Loved the time there and the awesome projects I got to work with. Took that knowledge, went back to 46 to be their weapons and tactics instructor for a few years.
Okay.
And then moved across the river to NAS Jax to my department head tour at HSM 70. Loved it, stayed in the aircraft, kept instructing. And then they threatened me to go up to DC and sit at the Pentagon and wear dress blues all day. And I was like, that's not very exciting.
So, no.
So they hooked me up and I ended up actually going back to the weapons school, which is just prior to here, continuing to teach and fly, which is kind of a passion I've had for my entire career, and it's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Let me ask LT, since we're talking aircraft real quick before we jump back into Commander. So LT is instructor pilot full time for sure.
Yep.
But also you wear other hats as well. But what was your aircraft? Now, before you were instructor pilot, what were you doing before IP? Yeah. Give us your platform.
So I flew the 60 Sierra. So the Romeos, they have all the equipment in the back for looking for stuff. The Sierra is similar to the Black Hawk. It's just kind of open, so we can do a lot of different missions. So I was actually stationed in Guam for the past 3 years, and then we were deployed out of there into Japan, South China Sea, and off the coast of Australia. So we did a lot of special forces operations, so I can carry a lot of troops and personnel in the back. So we would integrate with those guys. The Coast Guard doesn't have any aviation assets in Guam, so we also have a local letter of agreement with them. So we stood SAR while I was in Guam there, so we would do a lot of SAR missions while I was at home, which was really rewarding and a lot of challenges, but really rewarding.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. I just wanted to know what you were doing kind of prior to the instructor pilot duty, and we know you're busy at HT8. Okay, back over, Commander, since we're kind of talking about what we do and how we do it, what are some of the things that you're doing now on a daily basis? What's your daily drumbeat as far as commanding the HT8 side of the house as a CO? What is kind of your primary responsibilities and duties, big picture?
Right. So I'll start with the tagline, which is the kind of command philosophy, making the best pilots that exist in the world. So it's an awesome job. I got very lucky to be here, and I'm kind of very honored to do it. but it starts very much with the people and taking care of them every day, removing roadblocks and making sure that they're enabled through whether it's aircraft or training or assets or whatever they need, that I get it for them. And if it's not there, then I fight that fight to make sure that they get it. Again, it's super rewarding. The students and IPs show up every day, super excited for their job, which makes my job even easier because then I just kind of go with that flow of the awesomeness that they already kind of bring. So.
I had an old leader tell me once when he would provide challenges for our growth, and he would say, he would, you know, give us whatever it was and give us the duty of the day or whatever it was, and he would always finish it off by saying, make it happen. So as the questions would come, you know, yes, sir, make it happen. And so I think it's interesting that you say you remove the roadblocks, and that's what I love about the Navy. Let's make it happen. Let's figure out how we need to do what we need to do. So I love that saying, to remove the roadblocks for that. So was this always a goal for you, sir, to stay with the flying and then end up as a CO?
No. And this is something I talk about with students and instructors alike. Never close a door is always career advice. I hadn't planned to come here, but I kind of always set myself up. Like I said, I've enjoyed everything I've done, and I didn't really look that far ahead. Maybe my advice to students and IPs, maybe look a little bit further ahead than I did, but it worked out. Super glad I'm here. And again, I just got super lucky, and I'm surrounded by kind of really talented people who really want to do the job, and it's awesome.
Love to hear that. So if I can start a more personal side of the house, are you married? Do you have family?
I am. So I've been married 11 years now. I got to check that beforehand just to make sure I didn't get in trouble, because I'm sure this is going to be recorded and she's going to make sure I
That's right.
Going up on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. No, married to Jen for 11 years. While I enjoy my job, she's actually the true hero, besides supporting me every day and kind of making sure that I have my life together. Yeah. She's done great things for the community. Again, we've been in Jacksonville for a large part of our lives. She went from family support organizations, veteran support organizations, animal welfare organizations, and running boards and like working for nonprofits. So
incredible. Love to sing the praises of our spouses and our Navy spouses, mm-hmm. because our Navy guys and gals, they have ship life and they have to deploy, and there's so many things to meet mission where they have to leave families behind, and they just absolutely just run the show from behind the scenes. And I'll give one shout out to those Navy spouses and all the military spouses, because they all have those responsibilities, and they are doing it with the make it happen, make it happen mentality for sure, with kids and challenges and jobs and careers of their own. And it's just incredible what they do. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So shout out to Jennifer.
Yeah, absolutely. She humbles me for sure. And they do a lot of the heavy lifting, knowing, like we just talked about the hurricane, like if I knew I had to leave in an hour, I knew everything would be taken care of, and she's got it. So
that's awesome. Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so real quick before we wrap up with you guys and get into the MWR fun stuff, let's talk fleet fly-in. So this is kind of, you know, NAS Pensacola has their air show, which is going to be so cool, mm-hmm. with having Blue Angels and Thunderbirds
Absolutely.
This year. I'm so looking forward to that. But we have some fun of our own as far as aviation goes. We've got some heavy helicopters coming down here very soon. Do you guys want to tell us a little bit about the fleet fly-in? I know it's in October, right?
Yep. So easy checkpoint right around Halloween. Okay. It's the best way to think of it, 28th to 31st. It's an awesome thing. It was my very first flight as an aircraft commander in a helicopter. I got to do fleet fly-in, which was awesome. You're laughing because you're like, I can't believe they let you do that. and it was for those who don't know, as an aircraft commander on your first flight, you're very new. You're like, you're technically allowed to take the helicopter, but everybody's kind of looking at you like, are you going to break this thing? And then they let me fly with someone who doesn't even have wings yet. That said, it was so memorable because the students were so excited. They had never been inside an actual gray helicopter before. And it's just so rewarding to get the students in there and seeing what their future basically is of like, hey, this is what I'm going to be flying. And it's what makes the training and kind of that pain of like going through and studying like for 16 hours a day, they tell me.
Yeah.
And just getting ready to actually do the job. And they're so excited. And this is just kind of a way to kind of keep them motivated and pay them back for that.
Absolutely. So helicopters down on the flight line, I should say on South Field. What can they expect or what will folks maybe see in the air coming, flying in or flying out near Milton, Florida? Free fly-in. TJ, you want to take that?
Yeah, we try and coordinate with all the different services. So we're training Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard pilots down here. So we're trying to get, normally we have Navy Romeos and Sierras will both come. On the Coast Guard side, we'll have the 65 Dolphins along with the Tangos will come down and fly. And then this year for the Navy, we're actually trying to get some Ospreys to come down since we have two Osprey squadrons stood up and deploying now.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And then on the Marine Corps side, normally they bring down 53s. So those are the giant massive helicopters. If you ever see those, just giant Sea Dragons.
Super excited to see those.
Yeah. They're massive. And then we'll also try and get Cobras and Hueys to come down as well. So it's a pretty good smattering across all of the services, but it's basically all the things the students can kind of look to fly. So we're trying to bring aviators that are still currently flying that. They can come in and talk with the students and try and help the students decide where they want to put down on their dream sheet for where to go.
Cool.
But then also let them touch and see the aircraft and hopefully go fly in them a little bit. But yeah, all the outlying fields, we'll kind of break it up into the different helicopters. So depending on where you live around Milton and Pace, you'll kind of see different platforms in that week.
That's awesome.
Very cool. I'm super excited. Thank you both for coming and sharing your careers and a little bit, just a little short snippet from your life and background in the Navy and HT-8 and fleet fly-in news. Awesome. Thanks again. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Very unique, and I appreciate it. This has been awesome.
I'm going to turn it over to Zach, and he's going to ask our wonderful fun bosses all the good stuff that's coming up at NAS Whiting Field.
Switch out the crews at the microphones here as the NWAR team joins us here.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I am going to be talking to Mr. Lenny Nordman and Ms. Megan Brawl this morning from our MWR family, and I will just... let y'all take it away and let us know what kind of fun stuff we have coming up.
Well, yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. We have such a plethora of events year round. We're doing fun stuff for our military community. And we actually just last weekend had an Oktoberfest that was, or the weekend before, that was just spectacular. It was amazing to see the family involvement and it was very exciting. We had,
you guys had like 100 people waiting outside the gate before the gates even opened, right?
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah,
and
it's fantastic.
So many families. The kids had a blast out there too. And we had, it was a festive time with authentic German attire. And it was just great. We had really positive feedback from patrons from that. And we've got a lot of fun things coming up too.
Outstanding. Yeah. Was Lenny in his lederhosen for the Oktoberfest or no?
I did have my suspenders on and boots. Boots are important. You got extra points if you had boots on. So
fantastic. Well, that sounds awesome. What do you got coming up?
Yeah, so we do have quite a few things actually. Weather depending, it seems, with this.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on it right now.
This
absolutely.
Time of year.
Yeah.
But we do have a triathlon this weekend. The Saturday, and then our next big one will be October. Or sorry, not October.
Ooh, Fest. Navy birthday
did that.
Run.
Yeah, we've got Fall Fest on October 5th, so that'll be a great time. We'll have some great fall treats out there, and hay rides, and all sorts of fun stuff for the family. And then, yes, Lenny mentioned the Navy birthday run. So this year marks the Navy's 249th birthday. So we'll be having the Navy Birthday 5K presented by GEICO Military. That's going to be on October 12th. And it's really, really neat. We've got the local bakery, Milton Bakery, is going to be providing a really nice cake for that.
Fantastic.
So, you know, you get all your exercise in, and then you splurge a little bit on some cake. Yeah, so we and then, Lenny, what are some other things? Oh, tell them about our holiday stuff.
Oh, well, of course, we need to plan on Christmas. It's coming quicker than you realize. And Santa comes flying in on a helicopter, so we don't mess around on Whiting Field. And that's one of the things I wanted to put out there. We do some wonderful things for our families and support for our local community. We're in real tight with the Chamber of Commerce folks. It's wonderful to have the support of our local community. And with that, our sponsorship opportunities for our businesses. We do like to open the doors up for our sponsors, like Megan had just mentioned. The Milton Bakery does a beautiful cake for us every year for our Navy birthday run. And there's so many opportunities for folks to get involved. And Christmas is a time that we're thinking about that. So if you'd like to get involved as a company or a business opportunity for you to get your word out, sponsorship opportunities are open for us to accept you.
Fantastic. And you mentioned the Santa flying. Is there anyone else who's going to be joining Santa coming in by helicopter this year?
What's the theme this year is...
it's the Elf.
Elf, the
yes,
movie Elf.
Like the movie Elf. So might have a, what is that? What is that creature? That mythical creature that...
Krampus?
No, Norwal. Is that what
it's called? A Norwal, yes.
Yeah, so we'll probably have a Norwal there.
That's not mythical. That's a real thing.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
No, our events are so much fun. They're very immersive adventures for the families. The toy building shop and things, so the kids really get involved, and boy, they get a good workout and sleep good that night, so that's kind of fun for us.
Outstanding. Maybe we'll have Commander Stockman and Lieutenant Wilson dressing up as Santa and Buddy the Elf this year to help us fly in, maybe?
That'd be fit. Well, let me tell you, it is a very rewarding opportunity to be involved in such a wonderful organization. Morale Welfare and Recreation does a lot of great things for our troops and their families, and it's just a nice thing to be a part of, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
you know,
can we brag a little bit about our base? You know, we a little while ago we were selected as being the best little base in the Navy, because we're a little base, right? But then, lo and behold, the president signed something saying that we are the best military installation in the world. So
best Navy installation.
Well, you know, and I tell you, we are the best. So, it's just nice to be a part of that organization. So thank you, everybody in this room, for supporting what we do out there. And those in the listening audience, get involved with your military community. Show them you support it.
I mean, the community is definitely one of the big reasons we were able to win that award. And our partnerships are so important for making sure we remain as dominant as we have been in all of those Commander Navy Installation Command Awards.
Right.
And then this year winning that Naval Installation of the Galaxy, as our Community Planning Liaison Officer Randy Roy likes to call it. But that's in no small part to the work that y'all do, ensuring that our service members, their families, and even us civilians on post have something to do that's worthwhile in our free time. And so MWR plays a big role in that. So
thanks, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you are a man who works tirelessly, Lenny, always running around. You've always got something going on.
Takes a team, Zach. You know it.
Well, of course. And you have a great teammate with Megan. Y'all do a great job of keeping us all on track and making sure everything runs smoothly.
Thanks.
I saw the Critter Bonanza's coming up. Did you want to touch on that briefly?
Tell me about the Critter Bonanza.
Critter Bonanza. Well, what is that?
The plan.
Yeah, we'll have some, critters coming out right after we do.
Furry critters? Or
we do a weekly, they do story time a couple times a week. And right after that, they're going to have some fun little critters for the kids to learn about and get up close with.
I think Critter Bonanza is how my first landlord described my house and why I couldn't get my deposit back. So hopefully it's a little less unseemly than that whole situation was for me anyway, as a young man. Not anymore. Not now.
I also saw that you had zombie karaoke, creepy canine events coming up.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, 'tis the season for that, right? The canine one, that's always a great time when we do our pet events, and we'll have a costume contest for humans and dogs. And I already know what I'm doing with my dog, so stay tuned. That'll be, yes, all of you can see all of these events on our website. So that's Navy MWR Whitingfield .com, and then also if you follow us on Facebook, you can track all those events and stay tuned for all the upcoming things as well.
All right, that does it for this segment. NAS Whitingfield, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.